Our first lesson this morning comes from the book of Genesis, the 12th chapter. Let us listen for God's word this morning. Now the Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and the one who curses you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Our second scripture lesson is a very familiar lesson, and what you'll notice after it's done is that we left out this important phrase that we often share with one another, well, often lately, share with one another a response. And so I will read the passage, I will offer you my part of the response, and I'll see how well you do on yours. Let us listen for God's word. "For everything there is a season, and a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to throw away stones and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. What gain have the workers from their toil? I have seen the business that God has given to everyone to be busy with. He has made everything suitable for its time. Moreover, he has put a sense of past and future in their minds, yet they cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. I know that there is nothing better for them than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. I know that whatever God does endures forever. Nothing can be added to it, nor anything taken away from it. God has done this so that all should stand in awe before him. That which is already has been, that which is to be already is, and God seeks out what has gone by." This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Girl, we got it. All right. I was sitting at a dinner table a few weeks ago listening to someone tell a story. I don't remember the story, but I remember that it seemed to go on and on and on, which is probably why I don't remember the story. I stopped listening, but the person kept going on and on. I, like the others around the table, were ready for something different. We wanted to talk too. We wanted to be a part of the conversation. And finally, when the person finished his story, someone, not me, said, "Well, bless your heart." I was immediately transported back to my southern roots. You see, I know what that phrase sounds like, and I know what it means. Wikipedia says it well. "Bless your heart" is a phrase that is common in the southern United States. The phrase has multiple meanings. It can be used as a sincere expression of sympathy or genuine concern. Or it is also sometimes used to mean, "You are dumb or otherwise impaired, but you can't help it." And it's said by individuals who wish to be sweet and do not wish to act ugly. I'm pretty sure I know which meaning the person intended at the dinner table that night, and it wasn't sympathy or concern. Still, the phrase sticks with me, not just because of my southern roots, but because I wonder, I wonder what it would be like to truly bless someone with who I am and what I do. I wonder what it would be like to be a blessing to someone else. How on this Labor Day weekend, when we celebrate the labor movement in this country, might we reflect on our work, certainly the work that provides for ourselves and our families, but also all the kinds of work we do in our homes, for our church, for our community. How are they a blessing? Not just to us. How are they being a blessing to others? How is our work tools for blessing other people? We certainly work for many reasons. In a recent sermon at the Chautauqua Institute, Princeton Seminary president Craig Barnes shared a story about his grandfather and the reasons for his work. Work, he said, used to just be work for my grandfather. There are very few people who thought of work in his time as anything other than that. Anything other than as a means of providing for your family, for yourself, a means of keeping starvation at bay, keeping a roof over your head. Very few people in his generation were able to go on to be philosophers or artists or poets. Most people just worked because they had needs that needed to be met. My grandfather, Barnes said, was a sixth generation tobacco farmer in North Carolina. And when I was graduating from college, I was trying to figure out which job I would be fulfilled in. What would be fulfilling work, he asked. I remembered that question, and I wanted to talk to my grandmother about it, so I asked her, was Granddaddy fulfilled as a tobacco farmer? And then I had to explain the concept to her. She had no idea what fulfilling meant. I don't know, she said. He was a farmer. And then Barnes concluded, in his long life and all those years of plowing on the back 40 acres, it never occurred to my grandfather to ask himself if he was fulfilled in his work. He did it because it was his job. He inherited that identity and mission from generations before him. His home told him who he was and what he was about. That's where we find Abraham in Genesis 12 today. He was going about his life, doing his work, the work his family and kindred needed him to do. It wasn't necessarily fulfilling, but it was work. In the midst of that, God showed up and offered him something very new and very different. It would require him to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house, and to travel to a new land God would show him. He would become a great nation, he'd be blessed with much wealth, and he would have a great, great name. Now, I can imagine how hard this might have been for Abraham. Leaving the work of the family for something altogether different and unknown, something that sounds too good to be true, must have been hard. It's like those emails we get sometimes from that long-lost relative in Nigeria who has $25 million for us, or that amazing investment that is time-sensitive, but it will double or triple our money in weeks, if not days. But instead of hitting the delete button on that message from God, Abraham followed God's call. He went, the story says. And he took his family and his nephew Lot and his family with him. He did this too at 75 years of age. Real quickly, how many 75 plus year olds do we have here today? You are Abraham. At 75 years of age, Abraham set out on a brand new journey. I don't know why he did that, why he thought or trusted that God was talking to him, why he didn't think his mind was simply playing tricks on him, why he didn't send this message from God into his junk folder and mark it as spam. I just don't know why. But here's what I believe. I want to believe he followed God because of one simple thing God said. so that your life will be a blessing. I wonder if that's what makes this an authentic message from God, is that God's message to Abraham doesn't end with him having his best life now, but with being a blessing to others. Even people like you and me, whom he would never, ever meet. God drew him out of himself, out of his normal routine, out of the work for work's sake, out of thinking just for himself and his own, and asked him to be more, to work for something greater, to bless the families of the earth. The philosopher of Ecclesiastes didn't have a personal message from God like Abraham. He had to learn about life and God and faith by attention to the ways nature works and what it teaches. Experience taught him that there's a time for everything under the sun, and that God has made everything suitable for its time. He understood that we cannot find out what God has done from the beginning to the end. There are limits to who we are and what we can know. With God's order in mind, one of the philosopher's conclusions is this: I know that there is nothing better for humans than to be happy and enjoy themselves as long as they live. Moreover, it's God's gift that they should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of their toil. It is God's gift, he says, that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all of their toil. If ever there was a phrase for us to ponder when we look at the world with God's gifts in mind, with God's intention in mind, It is those words. It is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in all their toil. We are not made to fathom eternity. We are not God. But we can understand our place in creation and our purpose when we understand how God has blessed our lives with food, drink, and work. Those gifts were not intended just for us, for the haves who have them. It is God's gift that all should eat and drink and take pleasure in their toil. If that is God's intention, how then do our lives become a blessing that create and restore God's gifts through our work in the world? 40 children, ages 5 to 8, need $50 each to be in school, to develop their brains now, and to set them on a path to eat and drink and take pleasure in all of their toil. We already know what happens when early education is not offered. They don't go to school, and they likely won't know God's gifts. If ever there is a reason to respond to the devastation in Texas and now in Bangladesh, which is even worse, to be a part of the relief effort in those and many more places in the world, it is so that we may be a part of restoring God's gift of eating and drinking and taking pleasure in work. You see, what the philosopher figured out was not simply a good idea. He discovered God's mission to bless all people written into nature itself. And when that mission is obstructed by poverty or injustice or racism or natural disasters, we then know what time it is. It is time to get to work. It is time to listen to God's call to travel with Abraham, to leave the comforts of family, kindred, and country, and be the blessing that he and many others have passed on to us. As Ecclesiastes tells us, there is a time for every matter under the sun, or today rain. It is time to see how blessed we are with the gifts of food and drink and work, and to become a blessing that offers the gifts of God to many more. We have brought with us today, I hope, many tools, whether ones in our hands or our very body, that are tools of our lives and our work. And I would invite you now to take those tools and hold them in your hand for a moment and ponder with me the question, how might this tool of my work be a blessing in someone else's life this week? Travel beyond your comfort zones and see how God will show you answers that truly bless you and offer you work to share God's gifts for all. Amen.